I call the meeting to order, and Elijah, can you please call the roll?
It is 6:05, and we need a roll call. Chairperson Vasquez?
Yes, present.
Committee Member Lauber?
Here.
Committee Member Frederick? Committee Member Flanagan?
Present.
Committee Member Manning?
Present.
Committee Member Merle? Committee Member Kwan?
Here.
Okay, great. I don't see anybody present from the public besides the committee members.
Go ahead. We actually do have one person who would like to speak.
Sure. Oh, at the...
That's okay. Better not to be seen.
Okay, no, it's all right.
Oh, thank you for allowing this.
Sure.
4 o'clock, we're supposed to have this in. I didn't know whether I'd be able to make it tonight or not. So,
okay.
My name is Julie Patterson, 7575 Lake Street in River Forest. And I'm here because I'm very interested in what you're doing. I've had a chance to go back with some of your minutes for the last several months, but not to look at them in depth. But I've spoken at various public hearings for the last 4 years since Lake Lathrop came into final stages, mostly about traffic safety, which concerns me. I live in Centennial House, which is mostly seniors. And I know that walking my dog, I am deathly afraid of crossing Lake Lathrop and add in Centennial House, and it's a worse situation. About a month ago, there was a near miss at Lake and Lathrop. A gentleman was probably a foot or two from being hit by a car. And I told Lisa Shiner and various people were very kind enough to contact me about it, and they did a great job. And they all suggested I go to traffic and safety, so I went there and told them about it. And I saw that you also are working on safety at corners for seniors. And one of the highlights of this poor guy almost getting run over was that somebody sent over the scooper trucks and cleared the sidewalk. Cleared the area of where the gentleman almost got hit. There was ice there. There were snow dams there, and it was very slushy. And we were just very lucky this fellow wasn't hit. It's also a difficult corner to cross, and I'm referring to the southeast corner where River Forest Chocolate Shop used to be. So anyway, and when they scooped it up, there it was just wonderful. So I know you're working on that, and I would love to see more about safety at intersections for seniors. Several years ago, after they did the study for walking to school, I forget the name of it, but they put in several lighted stop signs at Central and at Ashland and then underneath the viaduct, et cetera, mostly for the school kids. But the seniors have benefited from that too, big time. Lots of comments about that. And so the other thing I wanted to address is communication for seniors who don't have internet. This has been something that I've been talking about for a couple of years. And several people in our building do not have internet, do not use computers in any way, shape, or form. So it's been difficult if I don't put up notices or somebody else doesn't about what's going on, they don't know. And these are people who are longtime River Foresters who want to keep in the loop and are very concerned for their own safety and everybody else's, and the school kids too. So a couple of meetings ago, I think it was January Zoom meeting, Kathy Aducey volunteered and said that they could get us hard copies of the electronic mail emails that go out. I can't tell you what a success and how grateful the residents are. One of our residents said, they did this for us, and they actually brought it over. And within, I would say, 24 hours, they were all gone. So that was well received. But I worry about people who are still in their homes who aren't internet savvy or, like me, only know enough to be dangerous. And so I just thought that might be something good for you all to take a look at. And calling the corners, traffic safety. And then my last comment is I find it very ironic that we are a senior-friendly community and we're doing terrific work to support the seniors and get things out there. And yet there are a number of seniors who can't afford to live here any longer. And I know Dan Lauber has been a champion of that. Yeah. So it really bugs me, and it bothers the seniors in our building whose friends can't afford to live here. So I know they're working on it and trying to get to the 10% or whatever, but that's about it. What I have to say, other than thank you for doing what you're doing. I think it's very welcome in our building. So
okay. That's it. Well, thank you very much. And I'm glad to hear that at least the residents that you were referring to got copies of newsletters. But I do recall that when it came, it's coming up when we're talking about the condominium buildings, that we've been trying to get the hard copies to the condominium buildings as well. But so that, individuals in the building can get copies. We are going to try to deal with the situation you indicated, where there might be seniors, but not only seniors, other people who may not have, I guess, the internet access, and how we can get hard copies of the newsletters to them and some other forms of communication. I know we're focused here in our committee for Age Friendly, but I foresee that some of the recommendations that may come out of our committee will, as you noted, will benefit us, our residents as a whole in our town. So we're looking forward to that as well. But I appreciate the three comments you made as well. And Jim, I see your hand going up.
So. Yeah, I wanted to ask Rez or Elijah if you know if River Forest still uses the Blackboard notification system.
That is reserved for emergencies. So, if we have any kind of disaster or, something significant, we do use the Blackboard.
Okay. So, but for anybody that doesn't know that this system has existed in River Forest for many years, sure. It connects all residents that are signed up for it. You have to sign up for it, but it will call your phone if you have a landline.
Okay.
And give you this message. It will alert you to these different emergency type situations. It'll send you a text message. It will email you if you have access to email. And then I would submit that all of the different government agencies, library, park district, senior services committee, regularly publish and mail all of their correspondence out. I don't know, the park district's been doing more online, but I know the print stuff is still available. And so I know there's quite a bit, but you've got to make sure that you're on the list and that that those people are engaged on that level.
Okay.
For the people that don't have internet, the question I would ask is, do we know where they currently, how they get their information? They are lifelong residents. Where have they been obtaining their information in the past?
And,
is the resident still there?
Yeah, I think so. Elijah? I think so, Jim. Let's see. Is Ms. Patterson, is the resident there?
Yes.
Okay.
Resident at Centennial
Hall. Okay.
What has happened since the Lake Lathrop came up? and they were trying to get things rolling in 2016, is there seem to be representatives from all of the buildings around us, from Centennial House, from Windsor House, which is south on Lathrop, and then the Chatterton. And what we've been doing is keeping in contact with each other. And I post notes in the elevator, on the bulletin board. And I know that the president of Windsor House does that as well. Or just making sure and talking to our neighbors. We only have 19 units, so we are pretty close, and we make sure that everybody knows what's going on. And I do know that the residents do get the mailers. A lot of it has been somewhat combined into the e-newsletter. I don't seem to remember seeing school as much as I used to, but the library definitely for sure. And Park District, I don't recall seeing anything from them. So we do, you know, communicate among ourselves and spread the word, but we're fortunate to live in a community. People who, most people who are still in houses would rely on their neighbors to do that. And when the pandemic started, I know that there was a big push to get communication with people in the houses. So, you know, that's about all I know is our small circle.
Okay. Ms. Patterson, I'd be happy if you can spread the word. I mean, if the, you know of or hear of individuals, and it's not your responsibility, I know that. So I'm not, I hope I don't sound that way, but if you can encourage people who don't have the internet, if they can reach out to the village, and we'd be happy to add them to our list, a residential list of the newsletter. And we can probably, I mean, I can reach out to the library. I know they have a list there, and we can share those lists as well with our sister, I say sister public bodies, because we also communicate with the township, and they have a senior services area department, work with Carla Sloan. And so we try to work with everybody to try to get the message out as well. But I'm sure there are still individuals who are out there that we haven't reached. So anything you can do to help and encourage them to call the village, and we can get, you know, if we get their address, we can get something out to them and put them on the list of distribution list.
That would be wonderful, and I don't mind doing it, and there's enough of us around who can accomplish that somewhat in our area. Yeah. So that would be terrific. Do people have to sign up for the snail mail newsletter?
Yes.
That you're referring to?
Well, okay. for those of us, yeah, for those who, particularly if you're on the internet, we email it out and they get it electronically. But for those who aren't on there, we'll put them on the hard copy, because we don't necessarily send the hard copy to everybody, trying to save
money. But I'm referring to the one that's mailed from, say, the library or school, etc. They seem to be smaller, and if I recall correctly, they're addressed to resident at 7775 Lake Street, 2D. So would they have to sign up for that, or it's just generated electronically from River Forest?
No, actually that one I had to sign up for at the library. Once I signed up for electronically, I don't get the mailings anymore, which is fine with me. I save on the paper and get the electronic version, but I know they still will mail out the hard copies for those who would like the mailing instead, since for whatever
reason. Right.
Okay.
That's okay. And one other thing I forgot that I just saw in my notes is with Lathrop coming, parking is going to be very difficult in the neighborhood, which it already is, and especially for seniors. Right. And I know that another parking study was supposed to be in the works, but that was during the pandemic. And my suggestion is to talk to residents before a public hearing, because my experience with public hearings has been that people are last minute Larrys and they say, oh, this is happening, this is happening. And I think if there was a way that you could reach out to the different blocks around us that are going to be affected by parking, and in particular, the condominiums who would have guests, et cetera. So it might be nice to have input before a public hearing.
Okay. And what's your best suggestion in terms of how we would be able to do that successfully from your opinion or suggestion?
Well, I think if it went out in the electronic newsletter, that would be good, asking for volunteers. I also have contacts for the blocks around us that we gathered when we were working on Lake Lathrop, so I can connect people with that, or put flyers in their mailbox. That's tried but true. So, but communication is pretty difficult for those of them who don't have emails. So, but all we can do is try. And then there's the age old teacher question: did they read all the information? Which can get frustrating because they don't. Okay. Well, thank you. And please don't hesitate to contact me if you would like any other information. And then I'm going to kind of keep track of what you're doing, and hopefully we'll join some other meetings.
Yes, that'd be terrific. Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Oh, go ahead. Hold on.
While Ms. Patterson is there, there is an event during Celebrating Seniors Week, sponsored by the River Forest Township, and Saturday, May 14th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. It'll be held at Concordia University, Chicago. Right. The room location is being determined, but it is all about affordability and housing affordability options in River Forest. So if you're interested or you want to attend or you want more information, you can contact Betsy Kelly at the River Forest Township, and I can provide her email and phone number if you're interested.
Yeah, that would be terrific. I followed it a little bit, but didn't know for exactly what was going to be discussed this year.
Yeah, it'll be a forum on housing alternatives, affordable dwellings, really focused at what they're calling, quote unquote, the missing middle. Betsy's phone number is 708-366-2029 extension 13. And she can be reached via email bkelly.rftownship@gmail.com.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. I will definitely.
That might be of interest.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, all right. Well, thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you for coming and joining. And you're welcome to stay if you'd like. Okay. Elijah, is there anybody else who wants to provide public comment?
There isn't anybody else.
Okay.
You know, Res, I have a question for our crew here. When she was bringing up the issue of pedestrian safety with the seniors in particular, whose jurisdiction is that then? Is that River Forest Police Safety that have to really get a handle on that? Because I mean, the aggression of drivers, as we all are aware, has increased pretty dramatically. And I mean, I live off of Lake Street, and it's just crazy, you know, how fast the drivers are driving. And so does that fall under us, or is that going to be something that public safety is going to manage?
That was going to be under public safety and the police department.
And the police.
Okay.
So I can tell you that the Committee for Traffic and Safety Concerns are pretty responsive. At least they have been with me.
Yeah.
And I think if we made any motions or any suggestions as a committee from our findings too around what's safe and what's not, that it would not fall on deaf ears. The committee would be responsive.
Because obviously aging in place involves being able to walk across the street safely.
No, totally agree.
And not have also people blow stop signs and end up in your front yard and back.
Yeah. Right. We don't want that.
Absolutely. Absolutely, I agree. But any other questions? Or I'll go ahead, Dan.
Well, in response to Ms. Patterson's concern about communicating with people prior to public hearings, This is an overall policy I wish the village would adopt, and that is packets for these public hearings with all the evidence being presented and the applications and the proposals really should be available to the public and the committees and boards at least 10 days prior to the hearing. And that would do a great deal to enable the citizens to provide input in advance, as well as to be fully informed at the hearing instead of getting the packets 3 days, 4 days before a hearing. It's just a matter of fairness and I think human decency. It also makes it a lot easier for the members of those committees to read the material and be fully informed instead of rushing through it and being half informed when they meet.
Okay. Noted. Thank you, Dan. We'll follow up with that. Okay. Any other comments or questions on this issue? If not, we can get back to the agenda. And the next item would be the approval of the meeting minutes from the last meeting. I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes for March 9, 2022.
So moved.
Okay, Dan, do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Are there any discussion, any modifications, amendments, et cetera? Or is... No? If not, let's go with... Can you call the roll on the motion? Elijah, please.
Motion to approve the March 9th, 22 minutes. Chairperson Vasquez.
Yes.
Committee Member Lauber.
Yes.
Committee Member Frederick. Committee Member Flanagan.
Yes.
Committee Member Manning.
Yes.
Committee Member Murrow. Committee Member Kwan.
Yes.
Okay, it's been approved. Next item is the committee member updates. Lydia, do you have any updates on the dementia-friendly river forest?
No updates other than we are gonna try to have an event during Celebrating Seniors Week, similar to what we did in the fall where we invited businesses and organizations to attend. So when I have the location secured and the details, I'll make sure the committee knows, but it'll also be in the Celebrating Seniors events calendar.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I would say, for those people who don't know, Illinois is the first and only state that's been approved or now has legislation, a mandate in place that all first responders, EMTs, and firefighters need to have the dementia training. So that's a huge breakthrough for the state. And I think it's also important to note that River Forest has been a leader in that at the local level. So
yes.
We're out of the game there.
Well, great. No, thank you, Lydia, for bringing that up. That's absolutely correct. So terrific. Then on the Age-Friendly Communities Collaborative, we did not have a meeting. So there's no update for that. And then it takes us to the old business, which is go ahead, Dan.
Before we get to that, everyone should be apprised that the Illinois House and Senate both passed House Bill 2775, which adds source of income protection to the Illinois Human Rights Act, which means that a landlord cannot reject you as a tenant because your source of income is Social Security, because you get a housing choice voucher or Social Security disability. And that's a really important item to get in there, especially for seniors, because landlords will turn down people because their source of income, largest source of income is Social Security payments. So if President Pritzker signs it, it will become law and we will join dozens of other states and scores of cities and counties that have adopted this already.
Okay. Thank you, Dan, for raising that. I'm betting my money he's going to sign it. So I don't anticipate that's going to be a problem. But let's get Dan, when you hear when he does sign it, if you do, can you send me a quick note, email or text or when he does? So thank you. Anything else on updates on what's going on? If not, then let's go into the old business, which is the cross tabulation progress discussion that we've had. I'm actually going to Jim You suggested how we should proceed with that. So I'm going to sort of turn it over to you, if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Dan, when you looked at the data, were you able to see that, what did I call it, all questions one, which was the master, not the cross tabs that I had done?
No, oh, you... I did not.
Okay, so they're all saved in there. Elijah, can we do a share screen of you logged into the system? And I'll, you know, I don't know how adept you are at navigating it, but I can tell you where, or you and I'll have to give me permissions and we'll have to do the double Nantandre sign in thing right now.
I can do it, or I can, you can log in and you can share your screen with the rest of the committee. Whatever is easier for you is fine.
Well, if you're comfortable, if you want to just pull it up and we'll see.
Okay.
I think a big part of the discussion is going to be this master, the master report. And then I can show you these cross tabs. So,
okay.
While he's doing that, I think we should all give Jim a big pat on the back for what he did. It's clearly not pleasant working in SurveyMonkey there, and it doesn't come out in the clearest of formats, but Jim did just yeoman's work.
Well, Dan, thank you. It wasn't that, you know, big of a deal. I watched a couple of YouTube videos. You know, like I bet it was going to do if I waterproofed a foundation. And then I just got in there and went to work. And it was somewhat counterintuitive. So if, I think, Elijah, if you go to present results. So where it says all questions one, you click on that. And this is going to be the master report for each question. So, okay, so the first square up here in the left-hand corner is going to be just the number. 202 people answered that question of what's your code number?
Okay.
Okay. 197 people answered the question here in on the right hand side, there are enough opportunities for me to meet people in River Forest. Okay. So that's question number two. And if you look at that, I think you got to scroll back up a little bit, Elijah. There. Okay. So in that one, the numbers aren't there, but you can see it's like 3% would strongly disagree. Almost, 18% disagree. There are enough opportunities. So that's, and then almost 30% are neutral. So that's it. That's kind of telling that, what would that be? You know, 45, almost 50% or 48% would say that it's, that there aren't not enough opportunities to meet people in River Forest. Now, we could then say, how does that cross tab to age? Okay. So we have to leave this report to do that. I did about 19 of the cross tabs. Oh, okay. I'm trying to scroll down now. I did about 19 of the cross tabs. They're back on the page where it said all questions one, but they don't get named, but the questions are there. So, so then I guess we would have to say, as a committee and as a village, is this question one of those questions that we could have an impact on in terms of trying to increase opportunities for people to meet? You know, we have the block party initiative. We got all these different initiatives, again, at the park district and the library, which I think have really been doing a really good job at outreach, in my opinion, having lived here for, you know, what's going on, I don't know, 1975 to now, what is that? Almost 50 years? I'm privy to the communication, what the library looked like, what it is now, those types of things. So I'm encouraged by that anyway.
Yeah.
So if we want to, Elijah, if you want to scroll down, maybe go to the next question, which is then activities and events in River Forest are organized in places that are accessible to me. 50% agree, and 10 strongly agree and 10 say it's not, you know, so I think people think that the village is pretty accessible, especially if a bunch 20% are neutral. So is that a question? I guess I would pose to the committee, do we go through these and then decide which ones, because I got 20 of them done. We could look, if we want to go over there and look at what those look like. Dan, I thought your Excels that cleaned up whatever came over. I don't know how long it took you to do that, but again, that's what the reports that are saved in there actually look like. They have the question, it's all in colors. You can reverse the columns and the rows with a click, you know. So when I said, okay, if question number one, there are enough opportunities for me to meet people in River Forest, maybe if we looked at that by age and said, oh, it's people under the age of 30 that are saying that, as an age friendly committee, maybe that again, then that's not a question that we believe we need to address, can address, you know, or should address, or is a significant finding within our committee. So, you know, I have scrolled through it question by question, but I, you know, when you start looking at these bar charts, there is another report. I think actually if Elijah, can you click on the three dots in one of those squares?
No, not delete.
it is delete. Okay. I didn't know. I thought that I saw a report somewhere where the numbers were there too. And it just could be a different report. So,
Jim, do you mean the numbers of each category? Like how many?
Yeah, like where it would say, it would actually show you that agree on activities.
Okay.
Force is 49.4%, where you'd see the number.
I see. Okay.
The crosstab tables show you that.
Okay.
So Elijah, can you scroll up? Keep going. Okay, what I want to do is, go to analyze results, click on that. And then go over, click on compare. And then create crosstab report. Okay, so now here, scroll down a little bit where it says Q1 or Q2. There it is. There are enough opportunities for me to meet people in River Forest. Click and drag that into the rows on the right-hand side. Okay. Now you'll have to go scroll down where it says, so keep scrolling, load more, and keep clicking that roll, load more and roll down because we're going to question 52. Load more, scroll down, load more. Dan, is this what you did?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, now you click and drag what is your age over into the columns banner. All right, now hit next in the bottom corner. Then create crosstab report. And now you're going to see, well, we did question three. Oh, wait, no, there's question two. Okay, so of the disagree, scroll over. What's going on? I don't see we got strongly disagree on both axes. We didn't do that, right? I guess,
yeah,
okay.
You accidentally put in the question two twice, both in columns and in.
Okay, that's how that, okay.
It out of the columns.
So maybe go back. Okay, just scroll down. Scroll down where it says crosstabs below. Okay, now let's go here. click on the first one. Because I did them in numeric order. All right, so here's street lights in River Forest are bright enough for me to drive safely at night. Dan, I think you did this one maybe too.
Yeah.
So here it. It's doing it again. All right. The results did not look like this. On the one axis, it's supposed. So maybe let's go back and we'll click on the next one and we'll look at the next table.
Oh, just go click on the three dots and you can edit and take the thing out that you don't want.
Okay. So click on the next one. No, yeah. All right. So here is, it is easy for me to learn about social events at River Forest. And then the hard thing is in order to get the columns, you're going to have to scroll us on the right-hand side, Elijah. It might be covered up by your Zoom screen. Yeah, but there, to get to strongly agree, got to keep going down. And then then you can see by age. So when you look at the 85 plus, agree, strongly agree. It's people at older ages seem to be pretty happy. Look at the 60 to 64 year old, you know, agree to strongly agree 50%, 51% that, you know, it's easy for them to drive safely at night. 85% of people, 85 or 27% of people, 85 plus think it's safe for them to drive at night. And 33% of the people didn't think it was applicable over the age of 85. You know, like that's kind of telling. So from that standpoint.
Jim, I think with all these questions, the percentages really need to be calculated, leaving out those who said it was not applicable. And then we'll have a more accurate picture. I realize that's a pain in the butt. And I don't think that SurveyMonkey can do it for us, but that's probably going to give us a clearer picture of the results.
Well, it's only, I guess.
I mean, it's across the board. We've got a lot of non-applicables in there.
Why do we have that answer in there then? If you want to take it out now, because I think you argued that we needed to have that question in from the beginning.
Well, we had to have, we given the structure of the survey, we needed to have it in, but in terms of calculating the results, I think we'll get a clearer picture if we leave it out and calculating the percentages, that's all.
Or you look at the calculated percentages and look at that as a percentage as well and determine if it's significant or not. Yeah. Or you can cross-tab each table and do the math and extract that from it, you know. And that would be yeoman duty. This is not.
Overall, I thought that the survey showed people were pretty satisfied. And there were about 7 or 8 problem areas, most of which seemed to have to do with communication.
So do you think it would be beneficial then if we kind of went through the survey question by question and tried to determine those areas, Dan? Like, how do you think we proceed?
That's a good idea.
You know, just to say, you know, like, is this, you know, if people are pretty satisfied, you know, maybe we can have keep it like a couple of categories. See, you know, seems to really need work. People seem, you know, pretty satisfied, or something, you know, like maybe we develop the categories as we go. I don't, you know, I'm open to, we got to find a way to qualitatively analyze, right, Dr. Manning?
I mean, I would be careful with the word qualitatively, but I think we have to figure out a way to make sense of it. You know, like what's applicable, what aligns with the questions we ask, what's important, remind ourselves what our goals are with the survey.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you're going to have some questions where you're going to have results that are overwhelmingly on one side that suggest there isn't a problem. You're going to have some questions where the majority are basically saying they don't have a problem, but you've got a sizable minority of 20 to 40% that do have an issue. So that should be of some concern. And then you're going to have some where you have, actually there aren't very many that have overwhelmingly people finding there to be a problem, but there's about, I thought there were about eight of them that indicated that there's issues that certainly need to be addressed by the village and some of our other governing bodies, largely dealing with communication and availability of information about services.
Okay. Well, is there something, and this is just an idea, can we put them in categories of where we feel they're overwhelmingly satisfied or sufficiently satisfied in one category, and then also looking at the category that may highlight what you're talking about, Dan, where there's still a majority that say everything's fine, but now there is a slightly, at least noticeable minority who feel some type of dissatisfaction.
Yeah, and you know, what the stuff that Jim first showed us with the bar graphs,
yeah,
we don't have that. That was sent to us by Elijah as a PDF quite a while ago.
Okay.
There was the all data.pdf file. So we should all have that on our computers. Okay. And then I don't know how we interpret neutral. I mean, Jim, with the question question two, Jim suggested that meant, we had about 25% of the people added to disagree and strongly disagree meant that we got about half the people having trouble meeting people in River Forest. But I don't know if neutral means that they feel there aren't enough opportunities to meet people. I don't know. Neutral just strikes me as being neutral. I just don't know.
Well, and this is just at least the one or two people that when we were doing those pilots, and I asked them why they put neutral. At least for those individuals in my little pilot, they indicated, Russ, I just don't know. There may be, but I haven't gone out there to determine whether there is or isn't. So I'm saying neutral because I can't say there isn't, but also I can't say there is. And it was that type of I just don't know type of thing. But still, maybe that is a problem, or maybe that is something we need to address and like, for example, in communication. Maybe if people are neutral, they don't know, then that's obviously maybe something we should address as part of the village communication, because I would like to think that people would know or should know. Whether they decide to read it or follow up with it is one thing, but the fact that they don't know seems to indicate there's some lack of information to people and where it's available type of thing. So, I mean, I'm just throwing that out. But
yeah, I suspect that being neutral could mean a different thing in different questions.
Yeah. I mean,
So like question two, I mean, so would we want to characterize that as something that we should be looking at a little bit more closely? I mean, is it an issue, is an area of, maybe we could classify things as an area of substantial concern, moderate concern, little concern, no concern.
I don't know.
Okay.
That would enable us perhaps to, develop more of a focus on those things that are, where there's something going on and we need to deal with it and hopefully find ways for the village to deal with it. I don't know.
Okay. I don't know, Lydia and Jim, what do you think about that? In a way, I like the idea of categorizing like major concern, no concern or little concern, and then moderate concern. I forgot the other category, but I'm not sure. But I think at least those three would be something we would look at.
Yeah, you get major concern, moderate concern, little concern, no concern.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You could change the labels later to be fancy.
Right, I was going to say. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
This is just for our internal working.
I just was reading about how to report or how to treat a non applicable or a neutral response in a survey.
Okay.
I mean, I don't, to remove it seems like I don't, I feel like it's important to report it, right? Even if you simply report that there were percentages of people who felt like this didn't apply to them, because not applicable is not neutral.
Right.
I mean, it's a different, you know, I think we just need to be careful how we report it and what we do with it. But the concerns are fine to rank them and what's signaling in the data, what's problematic for people and what's not, seems fine by me.
Well, you know, with question two, we've got about strongly disagree and disagree are about 20%. So that would be a moderate concern or a little concern. And I don't know with this question, I don't know how you handle neutral. And in the collective judgment, how much should we be looking into this further? Is it a major concern for it? I don't think it'd be a major concern. Is it a moderate concern, a little concern? I don't think it's no concern. Because that, you know, it's 1/5 of the people certainly are feeling they don't have enough opportunities. What do you guys think? Or should we try going over a couple of them and then maybe we can better figure out the relative concern levels better? I want to see how Elijah puts this in the minutes of silence.
Yeah. I was
The question was followed by a long moment of silence.
Record reflects intense thought.
Well, there's some interesting, even just a quick cursory review of the literature, like what people are, how they're treating non-applicable categories and Likert scales. There's a whole body of literature about, like, do you treat it as a missing value? Do you table it and analyze it on its own and discuss why it's not applicable? Like, I mean, it seems like a cut and dry, you know, how do we treat it? Do we take it out? Do we not to report separately? But it's a bit complicated.
Well, neutral's even greater import is figuring out what we do with neutral.
Yeah.
And I assume there's a huge literature on that as well.
Right. But the way we worded it, I mean, there's no neutral category, correct?
Yeah, the question had neutral.
We did have a category for neutral.
Okay.
Yeah, in the middle.
Right.
Where is it in this, what we're looking at here?
Elijah would have to scroll.
But it is there. So we have not.
I would have to see. I mean, I would want to see it.
Okay.
Where would you like
okay.
to go?
Okay.
There it is, down at the bottom, neutral. No. Got it. And note that down there, that's actually that shaded because it's saying it's statistically significant.
And Jim, is the shade part of the program, so that's why it's highlighting it, because it's significant? Okay, yeah. Great. I see Dan saying yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So that is interesting.
Those darn 75 to 84 year olds.
Yeah.
Disagree or neutral.
Yeah.
Now that's 12. Technically, that's 12 respondents out of what, 192 on that one? Have to scroll up. It's a hard program to analyze in. I sit there and do a lot of moving. You know, again, I don't know.
Well, we can mark it as a comeback. Why don't you know what? If we look at it,
we go through the questions and like again, the number two, maybe we skip, but maybe we go to three. Let's look at some that are cut and dry and see if we can come up with, like, let's get the low hanging fruit and get the process going.
Right.
Okay.
My mom's making lunch tonight and we got to make it a quick game.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so with three, I mean, we're looking at less than 10%.
Elijah, can you put, for those of us that don't have these questions saved on their computer, please bring up the format and scroll us to the all questions.
So you're asking if I can...
I think if you scroll up further, does it get you out of here, keep scrolling up or no? Yeah, there you go. Okay, go back to present results. Click on that. Or maybe you got to go to the back button. Now all questions one. Click on that. That'll put us back in the master analysis that you sent out to.
Okay.
Okay. So when we scroll down now to question, you know, three or four. You know, where that one.
Go back.
Okay. Up. Okay.
Stop. That's three and four.
So, yeah, looking at activities and events in River Forest organized in places we said that are accessible to me. So, you know, again, is this a major concern, modest concern, little concern, or no concern?
Obviously, it's a big concern to people who find it not to be accessible, but overall, it's you know, I think relatively minor.
I think it falls into that category of little concern.
Okay.
I mean, or like you had said, where it seems to be of no concern, but there's a recognizable minority, and that I know minority is 25% at least between neutral, disagree, and strongly disagree. You know, so that to me would be of little concern. So then again, we can test this. This is maybe like, you know, again, a paint color. We're going to get a shade and go to the next shade. And we go, hey, let's go back. Mm-hmm. I lost an apple pie baking contest once because my pie got tasted too early in the competition. Judges came up to me afterwards and said, your pie was number two. There were 12 pies. If we had tasted it by the end, we all would have given it higher scores.
Oh my God, what other talents do you have we don't know?
You know what, it hurts. It was an old recipe. It hurts, still this day stands. And Oak Park Cub Scout troop actually beat me the same day in a chili making competition. I lost there too.
Okay.
A white bean chicken chili at that. So you go and figure.
They didn't give us that stuff in Cub Scouts when South Shore years ago.
Right. Well, I was a grown man. I was an adult against children, and I still lost.
Well, and you could argue that white bean chicken chili isn't exactly chili, but
it got into the competition. So,
yeah.
How about it's easy for me to learn about social events in River Forest?
Yeah. Now that looks like it's pretty clearly of major concern. I mean, I was going to
call it at least moderate. Yeah.
Oh, you've got 45%. Let's say, oh, I'm sorry. It's a problem. So
moderate.
Yeah, I think.
Because maybe what we end up doing is coming up with a kind of a statistically significant range. Like Dan, I think you pointed out, maybe 20% is where we kind of your eyebrows go up. At 40%, you've got, you know, a modest concern, you know, anything above something, we get to the number, we don't have to stick to it. It could be a sliding scale based on the question, but I think that's where we have to kind of look at it and go, okay, you know, if here we got 52% saying it's easy, this is a moderate or Yeah, a modest concern, or even moderate, really yeah. close to a major concern if it's right at 50-50. You know, maybe we say 50-50 means major.
Well, I think we should decide on what those marker rubrics or what the cut points are and be consistent, not treat it.
Well, that's what we're trying to kind of establish. Guys, want to look at the next question?
Yeah, let's do a few more.
Yeah. We'll just scroll down. All right. Okay, so let's go on to I have adequate internet access for my needs and wants.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Agree, strongly agree. Wow. So statistically, that's of no concern.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe let's go to I'm comfortable using a smartphone because the bars look small. Okay, there you go. Agree, strongly agree.
Wow, yeah.
People are comfortable using a smartphone. You know, and this is a thing that, you know, I'm working directly every day with a population of people that we're trying to figure out how to communicate with our clients. I'm arguing with younger advisors in my office about their desire to use Calendly, which is an internet-based appointment setting system. How is my 82-year-old client going to set up a review appointment via that system? You know, like, but I've got clients in the 80-90 range, clients in the 70-80 range, clients in the 50-60 range. Those 50 and 60-year-olds, I mean, we all want our stuff internet access now, want to see it real time. You ask an 82-year-old if they want to see their accounts online, and they go, what's that? So, you know, that's the conundrum that we have in our village with communications right now, is we're trying to scan these generations, and this problem didn't exist. I don't know if you all remember the World, but when we had the World newspaper here in River Forest, 1976, I delivered it myself. Huh. Got hit by a car on Park Avenue, and the guy told me it was my fault. He hit me back out of his driveway.
You were probably thinking about chili.
Maybe. Young kid, I was thinking about getting home for dinner. That's yeah. for sure. Okay, so.
Okay.
You know, again, Elijah, can you scroll down? Okay, look at, we got some problems here now. Oh, Nate, I guess it's negative. So I sometimes get annoying or negative remarks because of my age. Strongly disagree, and neutral. That's not a problem. So people aren't facing overt conscious ageism in River Forest at this time.
Yeah, the major problem is with doctors who address an older person as young man or young lady.
Right. Yeah, right.
They don't know. We don't appreciate it.
Right. Right. Of some doctors, it's amazing the bedside manner of people today. I have enough opportunities to interact with the younger generation. Maybe we scroll down a little bit.
Well, the discriminated against your age one is also similar in terms of, you know, rather overwhelming, not an issue, right. But you've got about 10% to whom it is an issue.
Okay, so then we said 20 was significant. Or you're like 20 would get your eyebrows to go up. 50 was major, kind of. I mean, how do we label 10? Of no concern or little? I thought 20 was little. 20, maybe, you know, something like that is little. 40 was moderate. 50 or higher is major.
Dan and Lydia, what do you think?
I mean, if 20 and higher is moderate, right? That's what we decided.
No, 40 is moderate.
40 is moderate.
And 20 is little.
20 is of no, is 20 or less is no, no concern.
Okay.
And then between 20 and 40 would be little concern.
Okay, so less than 20.
Or 20 and 35, you could say, and make them even, 15% categories.
Okay.
You go 20 would be. Wait, because we got four of them. So 20, 30, 40, 50.
Like whatever the spread is, maybe make it even.
10. So 20 is no, 30 is little, 40 is moderate, 50 or more is major.
Wait, so you're saying?
So like, let's look at, I have enough opportunities to interact with the younger generation. This we've got agree, you know, 40% agree and 30 are neutral, or let's go 40 agree and another 18 strongly agree or say it's not applicable. I guess agree. So we got 45% say they strongly agree they have enough opportunities. Mm-hmm. So we would say that doesn't meet a standard. The neutral is 30. We don't know how to categorize that. So I would say that this is of no concern, you know, because the disagree is less than 20. I mean, maybe disagree and strongly disagree might equal 20, but so 20 or below is no concern.
Yeah, it's actually 18.56.
Okay. So it's like right there, it's on the bubble. It would be of no concern. Now, I'm satisfied with the opportunities for social involvement. When you've got, I think in a question like this, you report, you know, 35% of the people were neutral on this question, but, you know, 38% said they agreed, you know, got agreed or strongly agreed might be 40%, which means that puts it up in the category of not. Again, when you got disagree and strongly disagree, right at around 21, people are pretty satisfied. So you could drill down and look at this by age and say then, is it just people that were 85 and above answering this question in a negative way that they're not, you know, satisfied with opportunities for social involvement? And so you get that little skew there when you look at it by age. So you go like, does the village really have a way to improve social involvement for people 85 and older? You know, I think the resident hit the nail on the head when she said, you know, you put up a stop sign that has a flasher on it, it helps all citizens, not just people of age. So, you know, like we're trying to do things that are going to help our community at large. I didn't get to drill into the park bench. Are there enough places to sit? I don't remember that. I spent a lot of time in the program, but I'm eager to see that question, you know, to think of, see if people think there's enough places to sit in the village, you know? So I don't know then if we go through this as a group, or now that we've got these benchmarks, and that we, if we could kind of come up with a tape, or maybe two of us do it, me and Dan maybe, and we apply our standard to it. And if we're in agreement, you know, maybe that's the way that we kind of get through it.
Okay.
As a first stab. Again, unless right. You guys want to keep going talking through some of the questions. And right. I'm happy to spend a little time, and you know, again, analyzing the data now that we've got some standard by which to look at it.
And Jim, before we go, can you just summarize really quick again what the standard is? I know major was
50. We said no concern was 20.
Okay.
Little concern was 30.
Okay.
Modest concern 40.
Okay.
Major concern 50 plus.
Okay.
So kind of 20% statistical significance or less is going to be no. 50 okay. or more major.
Okay.
You know, and then it's going to be somewhere between little or moderate. We have okay. to find that little spot in there. Okay. And I think anything that we think is important, we can make of moderate concern. We can skew on the side of caution, okay. you know, of saying okay. that this is significant. We believe it's significant.
Okay.
So, you know, I guess, I don't know. And Dan, I don't want to volunteer you, but there's only a handful of us here. And I've agreed for Lydia and I that I will do most of this
okay.
mathematical analysis.
Yeah, I'm happy to work with you on it.
The qualitative.
Yeah, I'm happy to work with you going through this.
You know, and so, you know, Dan, I'd be happy to take a stab and send you and just an Excel spreadsheet of each question with the category.
Okay.
You know, and then you could kind of look and, you know,
Okay, I want to get categories clarified a little bit better. So for no concern, you're saying 20% or less. I think it would make a little more sense to say less than 20%. Because 20% is one in five people.
Okay.
And then the little category would be 20, you know, 20% to 29%, and then 30% to 40%, and then, wait a second. I may be overcomplicated. I apologize. My mind is a little fried at this stage.
See, Dan, though, the part that makes it so hard is that it's going to be the neutrals and the not applicables.
Yeah.
So it really is going to be kind of like an interpretation where it's going to become a little bit of art. And that's why I think we have to have the, you know, where it's kind of like we have this discussion and kind of like, you know, two people that look at it from different logical perspectives kind of come to an agreement. And then where there's some disagreement, maybe the committee gets involved.
Yeah, you sounds know, Jim, good.
You got this is no, and I've got it as a moderate, you know, something like that. Okay. We just talk through it. But I think that would save us all some time. I've, you know, spent enough time with it where I'm willing to jump into it. I can get it done relatively quickly and into Dan's hands. Then he can have a little bit of time to work with it, toss it back to the committee. And I think we, you know, we go from there. If we're in a lot of, if we're in lockstep on it, then I think the next question is to decide how we develop the report.
Right.
And maybe it's Dan, you and I take a stab at defining these categories, what they mean, why we would define this as a moderate concern.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe we develop a report. And again, I'm happy to jump in because it's someone's got to take the responsibility to say, okay, we're going to give the report by the domains, the World Health Organization used for an age-friendly community. We're going to add the domain that we've added about technology and that we could talk about why we thought that was important. And then we can give that that narrative, Lydia, that's escaping me. What's it called when I just give the statistical narrative?
Frequency table or a frequency report?
Just the frequency report of, you know, how many people took it, what the male, female ratio was.
Yeah, like the overall methodology.
Yeah, we do that. I started to work on that before and I was looking for the numbers, you know. So that again, that then comes to our report. And then that means since we saved the village like $2,500, they should buy us pizza one night, something like that. I don't know.
We can do that. We can do that.
We have the power. Now, that was just a suggestion as a taxpayer. Yeah. I don't want the village buying any pizza for me. Thank you very much.
All right. All right.
Lydia Manning will buy the pizza for this committee.
I'm happy. Yeah.
I know that. So I guess that's, I'm happy to do that.
Yeah.
And then that's where we would, if we come to this agreement where there's not a lot of discussion, maybe we could still start to rough out what that report looks like. Again, I can circulate a draft and people can comment on it. And then our work is getting close to being done here as a committee.
Right.
It could be, you know, I don't know what a Wednesday night is anymore sometimes.
And Jim and Dan and Lydia, I am not believing me when I ask this, I guess what I'm reliant on you, Jim and Dan and Lydia to decide what is the easier to put this together. I don't want to slow you guys down because obviously the three of you seem to be the best in terms of the analysis and looking at that and using whatever the statistical standards would be. So you tell, I mean, if it's easier for, I know it's going to sound like I'm dumping on you, but I'm not. If it's easier for you guys to do this between the two or three of you, whoever, however you decide, and then come back to us. I like what you said earlier, is that if you and Dan, for example, come to an agreement on as much as you can, and then if there's things that you may disagree, and I mean that in a professional manner. I mean,
right. Yeah, you know, just where our categories are.
We need to talk. If the interpretation or viewpoint might be a little different, maybe that comes to the full committee. But and then we focus on those And the ones that did the both of you agree right. with, we don't now, have to waste, spend time on that.
As to okay. meet committee standards, I think it'd be best, it was me and Dan.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be two members. If you Correct. Have three or more meet or in Correct. Discussion. So we want to avoid that.
Correct. Absolutely. Didn't
jump on anybody. I volunteered and then I okay. threw Dan under the bus.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
so I apologize, Dan.
No. So Dan.
Not a
Dan,
problem.
Okay. So if you and, I mean, so Jim and Dan, if you want to take the first shot, at least trying to see how many of those the both of you agree on, it is whatever the category is. And then even if you say for the remaining portions, even if it is, you know, we'll still run it by the rest of the committee, or, you know, one's moderate, one's little, that can still come to the committee or whatever. And
well, maybe we take that spreadsheet and Elijah resends it with that, the report that Dan's looking at.
Okay.
Maybe, and Elijah, can you resend me the report? Because I don't, I have to go and find it. And if you could just resend it to me. Because Dan, you've got all the numbers. I'm adding up bars.
Yeah, it's really nice. This original report actually gives us the graph plus the numbers.
Yeah, that's why I told you I saw it somewhere. And I might have just not saved the right report. So that would be wonderful if you could send that to me. And then I would create a spreadsheet by question with two columns, JF and DL, and we put our score in there.
Yeah, I mean, Jim, I'm thinking that this may evolve into, for the actual report, high priority, moderate priority, minor priority, no priority.
Okay. Well. Yeah.
So just changing the word concern to priority.
That's what I think of for right now, concern, but for the report, we would probably want to change it to priority because we're trying to give some guidance to the village board as to what right. to pay attention to.
Okay. All right. Okay. You know, language.
Love it. Sure. I totally agree, Dan.
Right.
I think isn't the ultimate goal for the village to prepare a plan?
Yeah. Well, actually, correct. And I think what we're supposed to do is come up with a recommended plan of what the village should focus on. And then the village takes that and sort of runs with it, so to speak. But
I can start to put together the outline structure without okay. having all the details, but at least start to formulate like a narrative and
okay. figure out
somebody. That would be awesome. That would be awesome. Lydia, we can talk about that.
Correct. Perfect. Okay,
that sounds all good.
Right. All right.
All right. So at least we got another plan and another step towards it. Thank you. Thank you guys again. Taking the brunt. Okay. And no, well, I was just going to say, is there anything else? We're getting new business. If not,
is Ellen still with us?
No, she dropped off, I think.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Did you reach out to her about the pantry?
I did. Yep. Okay. And Elijah, thank you for sending. He blasted the call for volunteers to the committee. And Helen sent me a sidebar saying that she was going to share it with her volunteer network that she is doing
COVID. They're trying to open up the congregate meal program back at Senior Services and they need some volunteers
to meet
with the CDC requirements to get it up and running. And everything else.
When is the date of that for the volunteering?
They're going to need, they're trying to find 25 staff members, Rez.
Okay. And
an hour, 2 hours every day, 4 or 5 days a week.
Starting today, tomorrow?
I don't know exactly. It's like, they can't until they get enough volunteers to get it up.
Okay.
There's no opening date right now.
I see. Okay. Because the reason why I'm asking is that, and Lydia, you sent the information to Elijah because I asked Elijah. Maybe we can put it in the next newsletter that we have too to get it out to the village. And
it just says they're a generic opening plan or reopening in April of 2022. Right. So I think this month what Jim said, as soon as they can get them, that'll determine when they can open.
Okay. So Elijah, let's work on the next putting it in the next newsletter as well to get volunteers. Okay.
So just for a timeline.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just was curious about due dates for when, like the goal of the next meeting, we want to have the question, the priorities highlighted or itemized, right, for the committee to review. for the next meeting?
And potentially a draft of some report.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
And hopefully meeting between Jim and Dan, they can at least highlight what they agreed on. And then, and the remaining questions that should be brought to the committee to try to get a closure on which category it should fit in, as I understand.
Rez, if there's any disagreement between Dan and I.
Okay, correct. Correct. It is. Rare. Yeah.
And Dan and I have phones. We can talk with one another and stuff. And so I got a feeling that when we look at the numbers that way, that it'll be, things will be pretty clear.
Pretty easy.
We're both flexible enough to come up with I think some meaningful results and move forward.
Okay, perfect. That sounds great. Okay. All right. Then anything else? And because the next meeting is on May the 11th, Wednesday at 6. So is there anything else? Otherwise, I will entertain the motion to adjourn. So moved. And Jim, all in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. All right. Thank you all.
Great. Dan, I'll be in touch then. Okay.
Okay, good.
All right. Elijah, thank you. All right. Thanks, Russ.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.